Well, that's a shame. That's a shame. We were so close to, first of all, an enormous view count of this. How have Australia managed to fuck this one up? Instead, well, you know, Australia just unzip and a couple of blokes did some stuff. They sort of cycle through who does the next amazing thing, and Australia have their 14th highest ever successful run chase in chasing 281, 7 wickets down. The final partnership with Carey and Cummins was 55. Was it 60? Was it more than
that?
It doesn't matter. And unfortunately, the arrogance gets to continue for everyone involved. These guys just keep winning in more and more amazing and historic ways. And just kind of, I'm almost a little bit bored of it, if I'm honest.
I've never seen that trophy before. I mean, I think I do speak for all New Zealanders and people around the world hoping for a New Zealand win when I say,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Seemed to be about at least 50% of the commentary we're watching.
What about when Cummins was facing and he was on about 15 and he goes, oh, he's almost chopped on as the ball trickles to mid on.
Meanwhile, as Australia inched their way towards the winning target.
Yeah.
Brendan Julian just gets on comms and starts explaining to New Zealanders how they should be winning this game. Just to cap off what was a player of the series performance from BJ, and I am serious about that. Yeah. I just cannot commend enough the dynamic player that was established in the comm box and how he did what he did.
Well, okay, I got a tweet from David Bubb here, and he said, BJ gets better and better, and he quotes this, "This is a big win. Don't worry about that it's against New Zealand. Australia haven't even won yet."
I mean,
Come on.
Look, you know, I think a couple of people are saying this on our Patreon chat as well. We'll definitely nonchalantly reflect on this victory. I mean, the truth was we all sat on our seats not taking a piss for 2 hours.
Yeah.
For me, it is like an objectively flaky performance from the Australian team yet again.
Poor.
It is therefore hard not to reflect, one, positively on whatever alchemy they have within that team that permits them to stand up in tough situations and for someone to do something, for someone to unzip and get it going.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that's hard to escape is that New Zealanders, as was evidenced through the entire series, which finishes 5-0 Australia, they simply, and to their detriment and like inaccuracy, they shop at the store of Australian exceptionalism.
Right.
They like to buy in bulk.
Yes.
You could see it and hear it, the tension in their faces and in their voices.
In the air.
In the air.
Down in the plumes.
Throughout the entire series and on the last day when catches went down. I mean, even Nitin Menon and Maria Rasmus were, were trying their best to fire the shit out of the Aussies. Yeah.
Milk out for Murray, by the way. Final
indeed. Milk out for Murray. Yeah. But you could hear it in the commentators as well. We haven't won in 31 years. Mm. And like, there was still a sense of expectation that Australia, who again, were just willing to give this game away.
Yeah.
They were, they're done. They're on the beach, on the course, early tea time, etc. New Zealand wouldn't let them.
New Zealand tried to unzip and had their cock caught in the fly.
Yeah.
That's what happened in the game. Should we get the scores up, Pezzo? Let's just go from the final innings here, Charlie, as we look at the numbers. And it was all sorts of trouble early on. 4 for 34 when Cameron Green was bowled, of course. When Travis Head was caught at point by Young, it was 5 for 80. 5 for 80, chasing 281. And then Marsh and Carey put on an enormous partnership. What did they put on? They put on 160, which obviously won the game. Mitchell Marsh, 80 off 102. Alex Carey finishes 98 red. His, without question, his finest innings for Australia, especially in red ball cricket. Stark was out first ball after Mitch Marsh, which made it a little bit tight, I suppose.
Objectively very tight, yeah. But Cummins.
7 for 220, that's right, before they put on, Cummins and Carey put on 61 off not that many more balls. Let's have a look at the bowling card here, though, Pezza. Tim Southee finishes 1 for 39. Matt Henry, 2 for 94, going nearly at fives. Ben Sears was...
Matt Sears.
Yeah, it's too much Bears in the late 90s, early 2000s. 4 for 90, he was outstanding. nearly picked up a hat-trick as well when Cummins came in. Phillips and Kugelheim bowls once again, three overs in this innings, nine overs for the game. What the fuck was the point of picking him? In the Test Series, Shenlicks, he's hardly bowled in either game. That's what's happened in the game. Pezza, to be fair to Australia, whilst they have been unders in the game, no doubt, it's a great win. They are very hard to beat. Australia are a hard side to beat. We found that in Pakistan when they won that series 1-0 in the last session. They hung in tough moments. Australia obviously had a successful result by drawing the Ashes in tough circumstances. They remained hard to beat, especially in Manchester, where obviously the rain came and saved them. But they did hang in there to wait for the rain to come. Australia were unders in this game, despite really should have been having won the game on the basis of the first day. They find themselves 5 for 80, chasing 280. And once again, not only are they hard to beat, they end up winning the thing. So it is a remarkable achievement for, once again, just one of the best teams of my lifetime and your lifetime, respectively.
Yeah, the situation they picked it up from, like 5 for 80, those guys in the middle to lower order, is exceptional, really. And it goes to show they do have this phenomenon, this team of, as Cummins calls it out, like somebody stands up.
You're right.
It's usually the least likely person apart from Cummins who does it. Today it's Carey who was under a lot of pressure for good reason in the first innings. Marnus made runs when he hasn't looked like he's going to make runs. Mitch Marsh has been unders for a little while as well. Right, his luck deluxe today, I would have thought. But there is clearly a particular resilience and togetherness to the team that means in really difficult circumstances somebody produces something exceptional, which we know that they can. There are other questions in the team there, which we will get to around why consistency seems to evade a lot of the batters. But when it comes to just competing to win, led by the skipper, who is the best in my lifetime, is definitely the player that makes me feel most proud to be Australian. When he does it again, you know, under pressure and didn't look like getting out. Bharat said this morning he saw him storming off to the nets just the way that he did, you know, at Edgbaston. Now, I would venture that Cummins probably does have a net on the morning of his when he bats.
I'd be upset if I found out that a guy was going to bat today didn't fancy having a net in the morning.
But he's a guy that brings his best cricket for the toughest moments. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the exceptionalism that a lot of other teams are buying. But it's a massive shout-out to him. You know, he's leading the team. He takes four from the first innings, and he ends up 32 red here.
Of 44, yep.
Of 44 deliveries. Mm. So, I'll be curious as to how they reflect on the game. I'll be interested if they take a, well, what you've got to understand is line. I just thought it was very flaky. It's a big castle built on sand. But I did think unironically, that it was interesting that Cummins said in his post-match interview that it was important that they kept the scoreboard moving because they've been on the other end of that and they recognise how difficult it is to control proceedings when that's happening. So to me, if that isn't a veiled commendation of baseball, and I know we do have to thank them for most things that take place, but I think he might actually be doing that and saying it did help that, like, although we said – like Matt Henry and Ben Sears bowled exceptionally well. They still went at fives and it kept moving along. Yep. So before you knew it, Australia was there.
281 for seven, obviously, of 65 overs, run rate 4.32. So exactly that point. Let's talk about Alex Carey.
Yes.
Who was player of the match? Was it
Carey?
It was Carey, who obviously took 10 catches, which is equal most with Adam Gilchrist, also against New Zealand for most dismissals by a keeper in a match. 98 not out. There was just some talk, which is probably ridiculous, about, you know, is it his time and English should be coming in? English scored 100 in the last Shield game. He's obviously doing quite good things for the white ball setup as well. Carey has had a really... Well, fuck me, it's been tumultuous. It's been a tumultuous year for Carey. When you think about leading into the Ashes, I might have said this last night, leading into the Ashes, Steve Waugh was actually picking him as going to be the most important player of the series. He came into that Ashes red-hot form, started off okay, I think, in Edgbaston and maybe the beginning of Lords, then the Bairstow incident happens. Now, he's obviously going to be celebrated for the hilarity that brought in that moment against that particular English player. But it's no doubt that it affected him from there. His form... nearly dove off a cliff. And then he was in the World Cup squad. He gets dropped for England in the World Cup. He remains a World Cup winner, but he did play the first two games. But he lost his spot there. No, it doesn't really look like he's going to get that spot back in the white ball setup, given they've moved away. The struggles seem to continue. The gloves were very good during that whole time, to be fair. Dropped a catch in this game. Then you just thought, is this leading down a path of maybe replacing him? But to step up in this moment in a way that it didn't really look like it was going to. 98, along with Mitch Marsh's 80, both those innings are match-winning innings. But this is, in a clutch moment, in a high-scoring run chase, this is will be, I think, his proudest moment for Australia, despite scoring a Boxing Day 100 against South Africa, I think it was. So fair fucks to the guy. You know, extremely likeable player on and off the field. And, well, he's done it. And he's locked himself in for another right ball setup.
He's also, like, he's saved the blushes a little bit of guys who have been carried for a little bit. And I don't mean to confuse that with the pronunciation of his last name from some of the commentators. Australians obviously getting all their pronunciation correct across the world.
Yeah, that's four for New Zealand.
Well, they're exactly. Yeah, they are, like, Australia were a couple of nicks or dismissals away from probably more serious questions about where is this team actually at when you consider that they lost that game to the West Indies and then it would be another defeat to New Zealand. And then Carey, who has not looked like scoring a run for half a year, produces an excellent knock. And, like, in and of itself, it was technically really sound. You know, you can say of Mitch Marsh, probably euphemistically, he rode his luck. He played with the same values that Travis Head plays with. It's like, it's there, I'll have a crack. Ratchan Ravindra drops a sitter off him at the start of the day. So it could go completely different from Marsh. Whereas Carey was busy, aggressive, proactive. He, you know, in his first spell that Glenn Phillips bowled, he put that sweep shot away. He showed, he put the cover drive away in large part. He showed a willingness to adapt his game plan to the match situation, unlike some of his colleagues as well. And produces his best innings for Australia. You know, that is the Alex Carey that is available to Australia. He is a top order bat who bats at seven. And I'm so happy for him. His gloves have been exceptional the whole time. People go in and out of form in cricket, and he has now won a match off the bat for his country, which is really what those guys are there to do. And, you know, they now end up finishing the Summer Australia where statistically you can say, well, they conceded one game to the West Indies, but they've, what, won six games in seven. Pretty good. They now go, what, top of World Test Championship ladder or there and thereabouts.
They're behind India.
India.
But they go above New Zealand, who were ahead of them before this game. So,
But, you know, like, it, the complexion of it looks very, very different if Carey unexpectedly, like, doesn't play that innings. So
he actually ends the interest in the World Test Championship until we get to the final, where it's going to be India and Australia. But because if New Zealand had won this game, you'd think, oh, okay, maybe a three-horse race. Maybe not. Pezza, for the final time, we have to thank our dear friends at Smith Optics Australia, smithopticsaustralia.com.
What a partnership it's been.
The website. People have got around this so hard over the course of the summer. They've got behind us for the Pakistan and the West Indies tests, and also they got behind us again for the two tests in New Zealand.
It's not over right now. The code remains available.
The code remains available until the end of the month, and the code is FAST. Go when you use the code FAST at checkout at smithopticsaustralia.com, 25% off your order, not just these sunglasses, not just in the field sports range, not in the field range of that website, of which you can get these bad boys, the Verts, your Wildcats, etc., of which people have got around these so hard, circuit-wise, running-wise, triathlon-wise, Ironman-wise. It's now heading into the winter months as well. And because they've got around us, they are now getting around the supporters here. And you can get 25% off the entire snow range on that website. The snow range, snow goggles, anything you like at smithopticsaustralia.com. Use the code PEZZA.
FAST. Here goes, can I just say as well, a big thank you to the Smith Optics guys who have got behind TGC this summer. This is actually the first time we've brought our dailies out from the paywall to listen to. Right? So, we've obviously had it on YouTube the whole time, but Smith allowed that to happen, and many, many more people have taken part in these dailies as a result. Some people may say or question, whether product integration actually leads to sales or is just people watching two dickheads put some sunglasses on. I can tell you officially, I'm not going to say any number, but we're in the realm of tens of thousands of dollars of sales of this product from people seeing, hearing, and wanting to get around whatever it is that this is.
Oh, that's a nice bit of crumpet. I wouldn't want a slice of that myself is what the people have been saying.
Better way of putting it.
Okay, let's talk about the third thing, Pezza. What now? What now? Obviously, the IPL starts in a few days' time. Boys are on the golf course. It was going to be, it would have actually made the World Test Championship very interesting. New Zealand dropped down to third now with a 50% percentile point percentage. Australia 62, India 68 and a half, and England 17 and a half in eighth. Unnecessary drive-by, but you know, it is what it is. What now for the Aussies? It's a long layoff, as we know, until 8 months, until the next test match they play, IPL, World Cup, a white ball series in England in September, I think it might be.
Coin.
Yeah, bunts.
Just coin now. It's just bunts. IPL, bunts into America, West Indies, World Cup. Australia's obviously over there in the Caribbean. Win that tournament to unify all the belts or some shit.
Yep.
The reason you do that is to pick up the next IPL contract as well. Yep. So that ladders up to IPL. So it's a bunts period for a lot of the guys.
Yes.
And then they get into shield shootout stuff ahead of the, shield shootout stuff. Ahead of the India series. So guys who need runs are going to need to do it at Karen Rolton, and that'll be fun to watch. And probably the quicks will put their feet up as they should.
Yep.
And then we expect to win 5-0.
We've got one more main podcast, which we'll be doing tomorrow, available on Spotify, YouTube, all the places that you usually get podcasts, indeed. That's going to come out tomorrow. It's been a long old summer. It's been a never-ending summer in some capacity, but it never actually stops because in a week's time, TGC will, of course, be getting behind the IPL one more time. One more time here. In fact, we'll just probably keep doing it until people are telling us to stop doing it. But the IPL starts on March 22nd, I think it might be. We will be announcing our suite of work for doing the IPL, which rolls basically straight into the World Cup. And we really hope that you join us along for the journey. That's what's coming next for TGC. So no breaks here. Should we do Ask TGC?
Yeah, and just while you bring that up, little shout out to Ben Sears. I thought he did bowl very well. Good anger, good furrow of the brow.
Yep.
Good slow-mo swearing stuff from him. Easy to be magnanimous. And I hope Usman Khawaja's anus is recovering from Matt Renshaw fingering it while they were celebrating the raising of the trophy that I've never seen before but always assumed that we had anyway. Some might say it's a pinch, and I'll accept that. But it was just, another little sidebar to Australia winning a series.
All right, hashtag ask TGC.
I'm just trying to fill while you're bringing
hashtag AskTGC. This one comes in from Best Girl. That's actually Dipti. We met Dipti in Gurgaon. Remember when we went there? She said, "Is this the best time to start Pat Cummins' Oscar campaign? If yes, which category?"
Oh,
I mean, it's everything. It's cinematography. It's best actor. It's best actress. It's best score.
It is hard to go
past. Best costume.
It is hard to go past cinematography. Like, even as he was, well, he didn't lift the trophy. He just got on his haunches.
Yeah.
He had to stand there with the trophy.
Had to.
Accepting it from what I can only guess is a major sponsor of some description.
Mm-hmm.
And he was forming a smile, but it was essentially, like another day in the office.
It was a sports smile.
Yeah. Where one cheek is all you need.
it's just a little bit askew. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, people, the old sports smile. Sort of.
Oh yeah, big time.
You know what I mean? You don't like. Why would I give you two cheeks? That's that leaves me vulnerable to you knowing how I feel.
Now, different to Richard Cheekway,
and it's different to people who've had a stroke.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Bell's palsy.
Chris Rose said Pat Cummins not knowing Kerry was on 98 Alpha Play.
Mm-hmm.
Very good question. That was so in the press conference.
Interview
afterwards after the game. He said, "Well, I didn't know he was on 98 So there's also some sort of commentary that on the scoreboard around the grounds there was no notification of what Australia was actually chasing, just that New Zealand needed 3 wickets. I'm into that sort of gear as well, but surely Carey, as polite as a man as he is, with wonderful teeth and a fresh haircut at all stages of life, surely he would have said, "Hey Paddy mate, I'm on 93 here, I've just hit a 4 then unfortunately got himself off stripe, but maybe got down there being like, "Ah, oh, mate, wouldn't mind getting the 3 digits here."
I just think when you're in Cummins' orbit, you just got to take what you can get, you know what I mean, and just enjoy being around him. So that'd be better than any 100.
Saurabh said, hashtag ask TDC, how much credit will you give to Ben Duckett and Basball on this fantastic win by the Aussies? So I think all of it.
I think Cummins is legitimately praising it, though. I do think that they went about that chase trying to move the scoreboard along because they've suffered at the hands of that in the past. Yep. So it actually is a very sad day for some snide Basball remarks, mainly from Australians.
Yep. What about Tom Smirky, who says, do you think Alex Carey preferred 98 red or to have been lining up with Toby Green for GWS this weekend?
Oh, does that need to be asked?
Tom said, is Alex Carey a test opener? Already shuffling the chairs.
Oh, shuffling the pack, are we?
Shuffling the pack.
Okay.
It was a great win, a famous win. But how can I fantasize about this? You know, with me eyes half open, just flickering like I'm in REM sleep, thinking about how can I make this perfect for me in my life.
A bit of REM sleep stuff.
Ang said boring. Next, Prasant said crow's feet. Luke's asked, why do the Kiwis choke so much against the Aussies? And I think you've nailed it to finish it, Pezza, that it's just because
Costco stuff, buy in bulk. The product is Australian exceptionalism.
Yeah.
Too much pain, too many years, too much respect. We don't deserve it, but they're still purchasing. And maybe it comes back to Steve Waugh stuff as well, like it's mythology of baggy green stuff. It's that stuff's still paying off. What a wonderful investment that's been. We've got blokes underarming the ball to cover. You know, Travis said wants to get out when he feels like it. The game was there for New Zealand. And then everything they did towards the end, it was just, as you say, was Lee Trevino, Happy Gilmore.
Well, it's been a great series, been a fun series. Thanks to everyone that's joined us across the journey here and over across the dish, wonderful film, the dish, with my mate Sam there. We'll be back on the internet tomorrow for the main podcast to cover everything across the global sphere of cricket. So see you then.